Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hey, what's happening? Happy Thursday. Good morning and
welcome. We're here.
We're there. Hope you're having a great Thursday. This is the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Alongside Jeff Haxton, I'm Choice Woodman, Lucas White, and Nathan, new guy Nathan, across the way taking care of us. You two can join us. Your thoughts, comments, questions, hopes, dreams, predictions, just about anything. Welcome on the Yates Flooring Center chat line through the 100.7 Score mobile app, powered by Happy State Bank. Got plenty to dive into over the next 3 or so hours with you all the way till noon today. Give way to a half-hour edition of The Bottom Line, followed up by Rangers baseball this afternoon.
Those guys work so hard, I worry about them.
Yeah, you got to. But you're just a, you know, concerned individual all the time. Got plenty to get into. We'll take a look at the Longhorns a little further in depth today. Hax, I think, you know, I'm always a rose-colored glasses guy. Not always, but, you know, 90% of the time. Well, I don't know. Living a life of disappointment a lot when it comes to being a Red Raider football fan. It takes a lot to knock me off my my perch when it comes to Red Raiders and that sort of thing. But I look at this matchup with the Longhorns and see it as a, I won't say favorable, but semi-favorable matchup for Texas Tech in terms of how the teams match up. We'll dive into that, look at the numbers between the two teams, and give you one stat slash fact plays very much in the favor of the Red Raiders. So we'll look at that coming up a little bit later. Of course, look around the Big 12 today, take a deeper dive into that. Man, I just, you know, picked up the schedule, looked at the games this weekend. There's a lot of really good matchups, really good games. Some conference, a couple of non-conference matchups from the league that'll be pretty good this weekend. So, looking at that as well.
I was scrolling through it. I saw Tyree Wilson. He's got a little graphic here. Mm-hmm. You know, the 11 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks. Yesterday, I was running up to the USA, and he crossed right in front of me. My gosh. Unbelievable. I mean, just...
Yeah.
Oh, golly, that guy that's that big can move that way. You know, I mean, he's an NFL player all through.
He absolutely, absolutely is. If you've stood next to him or even been close to him at all, it's like, whoa, what is this guy?
So I had the complete opposite reaction that I normally have, well, that I've had before. Okay. I was in Norman one time, and Bob Stoops walked right out in front of me, and I said, I can take him out right here. Wham!
So take him out
this
right.
time.
That's
it was
like, if you think, I think if you even think that thought in the state of Oklahoma, that's treason, right?
Yeah, well, I didn't tell anybody till later, but so I let Bob go, and I was like, this time I just wanted to stay as far away from Tyree as possible because it wasn't in a crosswalk, but I was like, man, yeah, you know, get to the other side there. You know, he had his lunch and he was running on to the next spot at around 12:15 on campus yesterday.
He's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, always smiling.
I stopped very short on that deal.
Yeah. So he is, he's a beast. I'm glad you have him on your football team. But the idea is to get a bunch of that body type.
He'll get there.
That's why the Alabamas of the world. I mean, Tyree Wilson, I'm saying he would get a ton of playing time. He would be a player at Alabama. He would.
Sure.
You don't have that many of that type of athlete on your roster. Mm-hmm. And you're aspiring to get there eventually. Where you have quite a few more of him.
He's hard to miss. Like, when you see him, you're like, that's Tyree Wilson.
Yes. And you see it on certain plays where it looks like, oh, crap. Running back's breaking free. He's made his little jump cut, got by the first guy, and then tracked down from behind by Tyree Wilson for a one-yard gain. And it's like, where did he come from? He's back there getting blocked by two guys. And, yeah, Tyree Wilson... He's a man-child that will be playing in the league for quite some time after the season, and you'll continue to see him. He's going to be similar to some you've seen here in the past, like Jordan Brooks, where his stock is only just going to continue to rise as you get closer to the draft. But hopefully he has a fantastic season for Texas Tech, coming off of a career game against NC State. 11 tackles, as you mentioned, 3.5 for loss, 2 sacks.
Have a day.
Fantastic day against NC State, and would love to see him do similar things. Because, you know, all I heard about the Wolfpack last week was, watch out for this duo of running backs. We heard a lot about Leary, but really, when you look at what they really do, they like to lean on that duo of running backs.
Well, they lull you to sleep and then hit you with two, you know,
yeah,
trick plays.
Trick plays. But the duo of running backs really didn't come into play. They never gashed you. They never beat you with giant plays. And much of that was because of your defensive line. Hopefully we get to have a similar day, though there's one singular running back that is pretty stout for the Longhorns, and Bijan Robinson. He's had a couple of days against the Red Raiders in the past.
Bijan Mustard.
Yeah, that is a thing, right?
Well,
saw that in the offseason. So we'll get into that. A little audio to bring you. It's a special anniversary.
Sure is.
So we'll bring you one of the greatest coaches' rants of all time 15 years ago today.
Just don't be downgrade me today.
Don't be downgrade you?
Yeah, he had several little jewels in there. Be downgrade him!
Okay.
And this was brought to me by a mother of children.
Mother of children.
Yeah, this was brought to me by a mother of children.
Of children.
No kidding, Mike.
You know, I didn't listen to it before I sent it off to Lucas. Like, you know, go back through it.
Those are the things that stand out to me.
No
just
bad
the,
words,
just
right?
a little. No, I don't.
Okay, good. Because no. That one's.
Just the little jewels that are dropped in there. And then, of course, Mike Leach was doing his own thing. If Mike Gundy wouldn't have done his thing, Mike Leach might have had a much more popular rant.
Which one was the Leach one? I'm trying to remember. This wasn't Fat Little
Girlfriend.
No,
it wasn't Fat Little Girlfriend.
That was
no.
A Nagy game?
I thought that was an A&M game.
Yeah, I think that is an Aggie game. Man, what was that game for Leach? Because it was one of his like 4 or 5 famous rants, but uh-huh. it definitely got overshadowed.
Yeah.
But yeah. We'll hear that one coming up a little bit later. Also, a video that's kind of going viral right now. You may or may not have seen it, but if you haven't, we're gonna
All
have
I've
you.
Been doing is listening to the Korn song and not KORN.
Mm. Oh, the Korn that viral one. No, well, there's a different viral video that we're going to send your way, and you've got to guess what's actually going on in this video based off of the sound, and it's pretty ridiculous. All of that to come. Planning to have a little fun with you on a Thursday.
It's got the juice.
And, yeah, we'll look at the numbers between Texas Tech and the Longhorns. Why I get a little confident, not overly confident, but a little confident in the Red Raiders' chances coming up on Saturday. All of that to come, what you need to know straight ahead, a busy Thursday ahead on 100.7 The Score.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
To know part of the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. He's Jeff Axton. I'm Choice Woodman. Lucas White back behind the glass taking care of us as usual. Continue to hit us up. Many of you have already on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, but it's time for a few headlines to bring your direction. We'll start off with some pretty awesome news, Senor Haxton. Ludwig. I said it right in my record report. Ludwig Aberg.
Mm-hmm.
Number one amateur in the entire world now.
It's crazy.
He has moved up in the latest amateur world golf rankings, and he is numero uno. This is a guy, I mean, when you see people on that top spot of that, these are usually pretty darn good golfers down the road. So probably going to see him in contention a lot, PGA Tour in the future. Who knows? Maybe we're talking live golf, but wherever. Yeah, I'd like to see it in the PGA Tour. But Liv has got a lot more European players, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the majority of it is European players. So, we'll see what ends up happening.
President's Cup this weekend?
President's Cup does start. Are you Where does President's Cup rank among your golf fandom watching?
Not that high.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
For me, it's Masters, probably Ryder Cup is second, and then the other three majors.
Yeah.
And then it's probably...
Mine would be very similar.
President's Cup, Players, those kind of things down there. As the next tier, but I definitely pay attention.
That President's Cup memory that stands out is when the USA usually wins this.
Yes,
they ran out of daylight years and years ago,
mm-hmm.
and Jack was the captain, and they came down like on the fairway like old West style, and started negotiating who was going to win the cup because it was
right
really close, and. All I remember was Jack saying, but we retain the cup.
That's it.
Yeah.
I just remember him.
Yeah. Having like
yeah, that'd have been
Old West
before, I can remember.
Negotiations on the 18th fairway because they ran out of light.
That's funny.
Long time ago.
Yeah, that will officially get started up, I believe, at noon today, noon Central Time, between USA and the world. Going down, world. Other headlines for you today. Lady Raider golf team had a nice little surge yesterday to close out the Memorial Invitational down in Bryan, Texas. Lady Raiders went 5-under par on the day, 7-over for the tournament, and finished in 5th place as a team. So a nice finish there in the finale yesterday. Keeping it with Tech Sports, Texas Tech Soccer tonight. You will be on the call on the plus for that one. 7 o'clock first touch as the Red Raiders open up conference play against the Nears from Morgantown.
We got the Nears for a soccer open, and then Saturday the Nears for a volleyball open, but that's in Morgantown. So
and then Sunday, Texas.
I think Texas got a really good chance to win both.
Okay, because West Virginia has been pretty high up on the soccer.
Yes, but they have not been as good this year.
Okay, so this
they were picked high.
One you need to get.
Yeah, well they're 3-3, I think.
Okay, so you need to get a point here, right? At least is that the
need to win.
Need to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were a lot of ties early, but
I talked to Tom Stone yesterday, and. It's been a good coach week talking to coaches. He's very comfortable with what they've done without Macy Blackburn now. They've turned some negatives into positives, and Macy should be coming back real quick. So
okay. So that will get going.
Scarf night. It's always a big night.
500, first 500?
Yeah.
Right? Okay, first 500 fans.
Scarf is a big deal.
I love the scarf.
Raiders dad, I'm going to try to get you one, buddy.
I've never got my hands on one. I've always wanted one, but never got my hands on one.
The reason I get so hooked up in basketball and baseball is JP, John Parnell, is there, and he always hooks me up. I don't have that hookup in soccer, but I have to dig around.
Dig around. Get you one of those scarves.
Perry's is hanging on his bedroom.
Very nice.
So, yeah.
Very nice. That will be tonight at 7
I'm
going
to try
o'clock.
To get you and Raiders dad a scarf.
Okay. That'd be awesome. I'd be very appreciative. I got the... reason I can't get out there, at least at the beginning, is Red Raider Football with Joey McGuire tonight. That'll be at 6 o'clock from 6 to 7. You can listen to it on your way to the soccer match if you'd like. Right over on Double T 97.3. We will have, along with Coach Joey McGuire, Emmett Jones and Miles Price will also be in-house too. Chat about the Red Raiders and the upcoming matchup with the Longhorns. And then later, after Red Raider football with Joey McGuire, we'll have Thursday night football. Steelers and Browns. Not quite the highlight matchup of last week, Chargers and Chiefs, but Steelers and Browns, still a decent one.
Not bad.
Not bad. No, it could be worse. That will be tonight on Double T 97.3 starting at 7 o'clock. And
that was 2003, by the way, that I was remembering that on the.
Okay.
It was Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player.
Had to be a while ago. Rangers beat the Angels 7-2 last night. They'll play the early one this afternoon here on 100.7 The Score. We can't cover up Tech Talk. That's why. Got Tech Talk out at Twin Peaks today. So Rangers, Angels at 12:30. And then we'll have baseball again after that. Astros and Rays. Astros have beat the Rays 3 in a row, going for the 4-game series sweep. They won that one 5-2. Astros broadcast starts at 5:35 this afternoon. You too can join us. Keep those thoughts and comments coming on the Yates Flooring Center chat line through the 100.7 The Score mobile app and at 107thescore.com. Don't forget also podcasts. We have launched in recent weeks a podcast for all of our shows, and you can check those out at 107thescore.com, doublet973.com. It's basically a best of type of thing. So
yeah,
if you happen to miss any of our moments here on 100.7 The Score, you can go check those out, Into the Bench Podcast, or you can search them on any of the normal podcast platforms. That's Apple, that's YouTube, Podbean, whatever you listen to podcasts on, you can do that, and they'll be up there for you.
Interesting here from Bruce Feldman. This is a reminder that stuff is still out there.
It's floating.
Yeah, we just forget about it, right? With the Infractions Committee, okay?
Okay.
The NCAA Committee on Infractions is set to announce its ruling on, don't get too excited, LSU. Investigation at noon. So Kansas continues to go without punishment. But we're going to find out at noon if a hammer will drop on LSU.
I mean, they did get rid of a coach over it and lost, like, every single player in the basketball program. Now, there was football violations that went with it. It wasn't as strong. Kansas was both basketball and football, too, if I remember correctly. But again, these are much heavier on the basketball side of things. So, finally we get the LSU ruling. What do you think we learned?
I don't know, but it's interesting, isn't it? Because again, we just completely forget about it. It's been so long.
Got to be at least a one-year postseason ban. At least.
You know they wouldn't do that to Kansas. God, wouldn't it? I'm sorry. I saw Kevin McCullough in one of their little videos, you know.
Oh, it would be phenomenal.
I'm like, oh, God.
It would be so good if that was the case.
Sorry. That's the petty in me. And I own it that's the way I am. But I just, you know, see the results of the KU, you know, and then that's just dreaming. They're never going to do that to them. They'll hit Oklahoma State again just for fun.
Probably not, but you get where you're coming from. Patrick says, can we just stop broadcasting the Rangers games for the rest of the year? Would rather listen to you guys. No. We got Josh Young with the Rangers. There's finally a reason to listen to the Rangers now. I mean, there's people that actually enjoy, except he had a bit of a rough night last night. 0-for-4. Got the golden sombrero. I'm worried. Did they change him too much? This is a guy that, like, almost
there's
never
real Rangers programming on. It's called Facing Nolan on Netflix.
Facing Nolan. Pretty good?
Yeah. Oh.
I've heard amazing things. Mike Gustafson.
Learned so much.
Is the first person that told me to watch this. But, yeah. Looking forward to it. Lots more from the chat line. We'll dive into some of that. Get to a fun anniversary. And it's also a special day weather-wise. It's the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
On to hour number two. You're listening to the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app, powered by Happy State Bank. To my right, that's Jeff Axton. I'm Choice Woodman, Lucas, and new guy Nathan across the way. You can hit us up. Many of you have. Appreciate all the thoughts, comments, participation on the Yates Flooring Center chat line thus far. We will get to as many of those as we possibly can. Look towards the Big 12 slate. Going to put hacks through a test on a viral video, not a pop quiz. You're good.
Okay.
To try to figure out what the heck's going on in this video. They do this on America's Funniest Home Videos sometimes. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah.
When's the last time you watched that show?
Long time.
It's been a while for me too, but it's good wholesome family stuff, so we we'll still turn it on occasionally.
Good family laughs.
Yeah. Yep, can handle it. Also have a story that's about a giveaway on a plane, Hax, that some are dubbing as the worst
I've seen this
giveaway ever. It's interesting. It's interesting. So
yeah, nightmare fuel. If you like nightmare fuel, it's great.
I was wondering which side you were going to fall on this, but we'll bring that to you as well. Before we get to anything else, show versus show. Very simple name. But week two, we all went
2-1.
No, not everybody. I think Tech Talk went 1-2.
They did.
The rest of us went 2-1 last week with our picks. So we're all tied at 2-1 for the most part. All right, three games to pick this week. So you and I will pick, and Lucas can serve as tiebreak if he needs to. Baylor at Iowa State, -3 for the Cyclones. I have fairly strong feelings one way on this.
Baylor.
Yeah. I think Baylor wins the game outright.
Okay.
I'm not saying they're going to run them out, blow them out or anything, or run away with it, but I'm still not all the way bought in on Cyclones yet. Wins have been, they're 3-0, so can't discount that, but.
And they don't have the cold to back them up yet.
Right. Wins have been somewhat unimpressive to me. I mean, normally I went over the Hawkeyes would be pretty big, but I don't think the Hawkeyes are that good this year. And it was very ugly. But they won. So I think Baylor. So we're going Baylor +3?
Yes.
Baylor +3. TCU at SMU.
TCU.
SMU's getting a point or 2 points now. I think this one goes the way of the ponies.
Lucas, you decide.
You're the deciding. You're taking SMU?
Okay.
I don't know. That one to me feels like this is the game that...
Well, I'm betting a lot on the coach here. The coach that for SMU beat TCU, I think, is going to turn it around and know what it really takes. And
okay,
with Sonny, they'll win.
I think Sonny's lost a lot of steam, but we'll see. We'll mark that Hex disagrees on that pick. And then Rams at Cardinals this weekend. Cardinals are getting 3.5 points at home.
My first inclination is to write the Cardinals off, but then I only watched the fourth quarter in overtime of the Raiders and that melee that they had. So seeing how much Kyler Murray can be a wizard here, I lean Cardinals, boys. I don't know what you feel, but I lean Cardinals.
I lean that direction, but I'll listen to Lucas. Okay. So we'll
Cardinals.
I'm not super impressed with the Rams this year.
I'm not impressed with the Cardinals either, but
I'm not either, but it feels like maybe they clicked something towards the end of that race.
It's called,
and it's at home.
You know what he did a ton of Kyler was what we saw Patrick Mahomes do at Texas Tech, which just, I'm going to run around. And I've got a cannon, and eventually you're not going to be able to catch me, and it's going to pay off.
Man,
and I'm going to run it into the end zone, or I'm going to throw a strike to the back of the end zone. So recency bias hits me for the Cardinals there.
So in totality, we took 3 underdogs.
All right, let's go dogs.
3 underdogs. Baylor +3, SMU +2, and Cardinals +3.5. And I think there's a decent chance all three of those teams went out. Decent chance, but
let's go money lining in Vegas.
Money line it. There you go. There's our show versus show. Speaking of other games in the Big 12, quite the slate, Hax, when you look up and down. What did West Virginia do? I mean, what did Neil Brown do to deserve the schedule he got this year? Not only does he have two Power Fives in the non-con, they're both on the road and both on Thursday nights. West Virginia plays Virginia Tech tonight. They played Pitt on a Thursday to open the season. 6:30.
Terrible. Well, I'll record it.
West Virginia at Virginia Tech. tonight. The Mountaineers are a 2.5-point favorite on the road at Lane Stadium.
Virginia Tech has been...
They're 2-1, but they didn't look good in the loss.
Well, they lost to Old Dominion, right?
Yep. At home.
Yeah. I'm taking the home team. Sorry. Yeah. Not official on any bets or anything.
No. But that one's a good one tonight, obviously. Power 5 matchup.
Kansas Duke,
not basketball. So it's the first time in the history of ever that Kansas, Duke, Kentucky, and North Carolina have all started a season 3-0 in football.
I think looking ahead here, Choice, I think OU is going to win by 3 to 4 touchdowns on Saturday.
Okay. That's a little different from what you were
Well, I'm tipping my hand. Yesterday. I'm tipping my hand. Adrian Martinez. Sorry, Adrian, you can't go in there and win. And it's going to be a feast for that OU defense led by Brent Venables now.
Yep.
I don't have a whole lot of – and this is where I'd normally be just like, you know, really dialed in because K-State does some crazy things in Norman, but I don't have that feeling this time.
I'm the same way. Yeah, OU hosting Kansas State, 12.5-point line in that one. We've already talked about TCU, SMU – that line opened in favor of SMU, but it's tilted towards the Horny Toads. And then Baylor at Iowa State this weekend as well. That one's interesting. I guess we're not sure what to think of Baylor just yet. But their lone loss is on the road at
tough
BYU.
Tough environment.
Iowa State will be a tough environment, but I don't know that it's as daunting as the night game they faced. This is going to be an 11 a.m. kick. Against Iowa State. And then, of course, prime matchup for us at least, Texas Tech hosting the 22nd-ranked Texas Longhorns at Jones Stadium. So, really good slight mixture of conference and non-conference games this weekend. 3 non-conference, Duke, Kansas, TCU, SMU, and West Virginia, Virginia Tech. That one is tonight.
Funny video, sorry. Twitter's good. Automatic roll, you know, just. Yeah.
Oh, I get it.
Just automatic roll to little girl giving the bird to the camera. Just
lots more from the chat line regarding Tech and the Longhorns. We'll dive back into that. The first Hacks has the highs and lows. That's coming up next on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
We have entered into Thunderdome, also known as hour number 3 of the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app powered by Happy State Bank. Alongside Jeff Haxton, I'm Choice Woodman. Jackson Fraser has joined us. You two can join us. Keep getting your thoughts, comments, questions. We got Ask the Benchwarmers coming up 45 minutes from right now. All of it welcome on the Yates Flooring Center chat line through that 100.7 The Score mobile app and at 107thescore.com. We're joining you from the First United Bank studio this morning. Have an abbreviated edition of the bottom line, and then Rangers baseball coming your way at 12:30 today. Still plenty to get into. More of your reaction. Tech, Texas. My overly optimistic in some people's eyes thoughts towards this weekend's game, and we'll continue to look ahead to what some others are saying. I have seen a couple of the experts' picks where the Red Raiders are chosen against the spread, but that's it. The two ESPN gambling experts with the Bear and Stanford Steve have both gone Red Raiders plus 6.5. Citing it's just a different animal. Texas Tech at home. Rival game. A little extra motivation. So there's that.
They had that screenshot of Bowman putting the horns down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ever a quicker freezing cold takes?
56-41.
Pretty rough to handle there.
3:30 left.
Should have won that game, in my opinion. Just Just my opinion. Oh, that was rough. Hey, it's Curse of the Pirates gone, though. You hear about that?
Hmm?
I mean, you beat Mississippi State last year. Curse is gone. You got Joey in town. All good news now, hopefully, or mostly good news for the Red Raiders. Hacks, looking at some of the numbers, most of the time, for people that follow this sort of thing, the analytics line up with Vegas most of the time in terms of these FPIs and these oddshark.com, that sort of thing. A lot of times these things will just tend to line up with each other. Texas Tech's a 6.5-point underdog. Started out as a 4.5-point underdog. Now, where would you put your percentage if you're throwing a percentage chance on the Red Raiders winning on Saturday? I'm saying you got to make a pick.
Red Raider win?
Yeah, Red Raider 30. Win. 30? Okay. So, according to Vegas, an implied probability at 6.5 points is about 33%. 34%, actually. So, implied probability sits at 34%. So, pretty close to you. However, the whole FPI thing, it loves the Longhorns.
Shocked.
They put Texas Tech's percent at 19.6% to win Saturday's game, which is a little off base. And then oddshark.com, which is just a gambling site, they have this little algorithm too. Their predicted computer score is 34-25 Longhorns. So a 9-point win, Texas covering the spread. Also going under the total of 60 in this particular game. But if I was putting mine on it, I'd probably put about 40%. So a little higher than you. Which, by the way, the 4.5-point implied probability line would be 39% from where it opened. Couple more from the chat line regarding Tech and the Longhorns. Someone said, Raiders dad said, no, Clay was talking back to Raiders dad saying, Bama didn't play a good game. 15 penalties. Saban was hot after that game. I would not have wanted to be in practice the week after. I will say, there's probably about one a year that you see from Bama where it just looks like they don't play very well. That seemed to fit in that category for me. Now, you can give Gary Patterson credit. You can give Texas some credit for it. But that didn't look like the Alabama we're used to seeing. And wouldn't expect to see that version of Alabama again this year. Do you agree? Disagree?
I just don't think they're the all-knowing world beaters that we've seen them be in the past.
Which is crazy.
And that I just think this team doesn't have as many wideout.
Okay. Threats,
stars, and you'll see them clunk around a little bit. But it might not matter because they'll be so superior in the trenches.
You know, I think I agree with that somewhat, but it's kind of crazy when you think of Bama because this year's Bama was the heaviest favorite in Vegas in like 2 decades.
Yeah, that's true. I remember that.
To win the national championship. So it's weird to sit here and say that about them. We'll see. Nick Saban may gather the troops and have them looking perfect after that game against the Longhorns, but only time will tell.
I got a question for you.
I might have an answer.
How does this Dana Beers survive this weekend?
like without alcohol poisoning?
Yeah.
Or what? He doesn't. So, Patrick, that's funny. Patrick said, we should get Dana Beers on the pregame show Saturday and debate Hax's love for Toby Keith.
Oh, yeah. Let's not.
Let's not?
No.
Dana, so I mean, he's a barstool guy.
Yeah, but
anybody that's not aware.
There are going to be people throwing beers at him.
All day.
From the time he sets foot on campus, probably before. And I see this here. I vote we let Dana Beers ring the victory bells this weekend. It's like he won't be standing by the time to drink ring the victory bell.
That's what's going to be terrible about this experience for him, because this is like an official visit. So Dana, don't want to give him, you know, a ridiculous amount of pub, but Barstool, this guy, he's basically going around and he's narrowed it to five different campuses, five different teams. He's selling off his fandom this year, where is going to be his fandom for the rest of his life, his college football fandom is what he's doing. So he's getting official visits from these schools and from coaches.
They've been throwing merch at him.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah, it's a great way to get free stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
So he will be on Texas Tech's campus. You couldn't ask for a better game for him to come to. This should be as wild as it gets. But he's not going to be anywhere near coherent for the game, right?
I wouldn't be. If I was in that situation, I would not be.
So, yeah. I don't know.
I'm thrilled that I will not be. I will be sober.
Texas Tech, Houston, UTSA. I guess Kansas transitive property. The Jayhawks come out the best of everyone. Blowout road win over Houston while the other four played each other close, relatively close. Makes you wonder. Yeah, transitive properties.
It does make me wonder, yes.
It's a good thing they don't play the transitive property thing, because Tech wouldn't be on the top side of that right now, including, UTSA and Texas tossed into that. All right, more from the chat line. A question for an update from Hacks. We'll get to that and some headlines next on 100.7 The Score.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It is time for Ask the Bench Warmers here on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app on television, Fox 34 News Now. We appreciate you taking us in however and wherever you're doing so. Today, on this Thursday, he's Jeff Haxton. I'm Choice Woodman. New guy Nathan and Jackson Flaxen Waxen across the way. Several questions in. We'll get to those after you clarify.
Oh, yeah, I'd already forgotten.
you gave me a blank look. I'm like, you just said coming up.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Done that a million times.
Okay. I agree that there's, you know, all these things that, you know, I started swaying back towards the, you know, seeing some Jones magic tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm going to ground this thing in
Thursday.
Sorry.
Okay. Just want to make you show up for the show tomorrow.
Yeah, and soccer tonight.
Yeah. But yes.
I don't think Texas Tech's going to be able to rush the football. I think that the advantages that Texas will have on the defensive side will prove to be too much.
Interesting.
And that inability to run will bog things down. And then so now you're going to, you know, be forced into more of a one-dimensional attack. And can Donovan Smith beat them when you get one-dimensional? That makes me swing back towards Texas and why they're a 6.5-point favorite. So I think it'll be very tight, be very close, very entertaining.
Right now. Right now, you don't have to give a score or anything. We'll do that tomorrow. You would take Texas to win and Tech to cover?
Yeah.
Okay. This is perfect segue into this first question. Rank these defensive fronts, UT, NC State, and Houston. And we've actually got to see both two of those so far, and we're projecting the other one. I'm less high on UT's defense than you are. And Gary Patterson, maybe I should be all in, because I've seen it a million times. It feels
they're
like
they're going to miss Overshown. I'm going to tell you that.
Yes, they will for the first half. But it feels like, Hacks, that Texas Tech against Gary Patterson defenses all time have been hugely
productive.
Productive or terrible.
Right.
There's never been a middle ground. Never. No. You're scoring 70 points or you're scoring
3. Yeah. 10.
17 in overtime. Like something like that. So So I don't know. I don't think you're going to have that kind of day. I would anticipate you're going to be somewhere in the middle. But
that's it. With as ragged as Houston is now, I'm going NC State and Texas kind of right there together, and then Houston.
Okay. Man, that's I would actually go, if you're talking just defensive front, I go Houston number one. Houston's got,
they just gave up 50 something points to Kansas.
I know, but Kansas had a,
golly, man.
I don't know. Maybe I can't do that.
Yeah.
I think they've got the best defensive line. Pass rush, I should say. NC State is the best out of that group of stopping the run. They're the best ones when it comes to stopping the run, even over the Longhorns.
What's your, you always hit me with over-unders. What's your over-under for Texas Tech rushing yards?
I guess I'm going to put it at 125.
Oh, man. I got way under. I was thinking 85.
I would say if we were doing bold statements, my bold statement would be Texas Tech will run for more than 4 yards per carry outside of the adjusted sack yardage, or with the adjusted sack yardage. More than 4 yards per carry. Teams have run the ball on Texas. Bama is Bama, so preface that. They went for 6.7 yards per carry against that Texas defensive line. They're still Bama and have the best athletes in the world. So completely get comparing Tech and Bama as a different animal. But UTSA, rushing yards, you take out the sacks, and they're over 4 yards per carry. UTSA. Plus, I will give you one thing, Hex. There are rumors, it's where they sit right now, that you could get Weston Wright back. It's a big, big deal for your offensive line. That Weston Wright, and that would be amazing.
I expect him to play.
Yeah, I think he is going to play. But I don't want
to
just
listen to the coaches.
State that in fact. It sounds like Wright's back. So there's that. Okay, hold on with questions. This one from earlier. Raiders dad said, Hax, when's the last time you have been pee on yourself drunk?
Long time. Long, long, long time.
Like college days?
Oh, no. Not that long. No.
He also asked, any June updates from the mother-in-law?
I guess she's acting perfectly.
Or you're not going to hear anything.
Sleeping in the bed with him.
Oh, probably. All she needed was a little TLC. bench warmers. Better for a higher scoring or lower scoring game on Saturday? What's better for Tech?
Oh, gosh, man. I never know the answer to these. Let's shoot them up like the old school days. Shoot out.
If it's higher scoring, that means your offense is working.
Uh-huh.
So I'd take that.
Yeah.
And I think your defense will be able to hold when they need to. They've done pretty good at that. So, Benchies, how much does time...
Benchies.
This one, a little different. Benchies, how much does time of possession come into play on Saturday, considering the mismatch of your offense and their D?
I like it.
If our D gets gassed.
Uh-huh.
Dot, 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 dot.
Mm. We haven't brought up time of possession in a while. That's a good one. Because I could see them definitely, if they, being Texas, find themselves at kind of a leverage advantage, trying to draw more safeties in, try to hit on off-tackle plays, try to keep the ball as long as possible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This question.
I think Texas has a better chance to play that game than Tech does.
You think so?
Yeah. The time of possession game?
I don't know. Joey McGuire, that's in his DNA.
Well, let's hit the tight end some then. Move the chains.
Move the chains.
Run the football. Don't have to get it all.
Run the football. I think you're going to see some cover four.
Pepper these tight ends, man.
I think you'll see some cover four, a little bit of man. I think you're going to have opportunities to run the football. It's going to be all about, can you avoid negative plays? Quit starting first down or quit starting off with second down zero or negative yards on first down every play. That's part of Donovan's lack of success problem, and he contributes to it. But it's not completely him. Offensive line, inability to run the football is part of that. But how many times last week did we see Donovan Smith having to try to dig out of a hole on 2nd and 10, 2nd and 12, 2nd and 13? It was almost every time there was a second down. Sometimes they dug out. Most of the time they didn't. Just rough. Rough.
Bryce Ramirez is back in Lubbock.
Fantastic. Awesome. Hope he gets to see the team. There's an extra shot, too. Shot in the arm to the team. Good to see him in good spirits. Over-under interceptions until Morton is put in. 2.5 is what they set it at.
Under.
I go over. If they get over, that's when Morton comes in terms of actually coming in to replace Donovan, not just a singular play or a possession or something. This question will...
Kind of depends on the timing, too.
Sure does. Will Quinn Ewers play?
No. They got to get their $4 million worth. They got to at least put him on the plane and put him in a uniform. The Aston Martin, man.
But isn't that kind of a waste? Because the... I heard Sark say earlier this week, hey, we're limited. We only have 70 we can travel, so it's a little different for a road game than we've had at home. So isn't that wasting a jersey to have him active if he's not actually able to play? But again, I completely see your side. Got to get that $4 million.
Got to get that $4
million. Take care of ours. We never even talked about the... $280,000 spent on Arch Manning in the recruiting visit either.
Oh, so much faith we get in Quinn. Let's give him $4 million, but then we got to spend $300,000 on a weekend visit.
Oh my gosh.
To get another one. Texas.
That's it for us.
Get out of here.
We'll have a Friday edition tomorrow. For Jeff Haxton, Nathan, Jackson, I'm Choice. It's been the end of the bench on 100.7 The Score.
This has been the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.